Chapter 20. And verse 13 is our text, "Thou shalt not kill." Let's just unite together at the throne of grace. Our gracious God and our loving Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the opportunity of coming to Thee. We thank Thee for our Saviour, the Lord Jesus, and we bless Thee for Thy word that so starkly stands in front of us now. We pray, gracious God, that we might be taught from the depths of Thy word, and Lord, that we might realize that it is not just something that lies on the surface, but Lord, there are depths that we need to plumb. So gracious God, help us as we meet at Thy feet today, apply Thy word to our hearts, and do us good as we wait upon Thee, for it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen. The sixth commandment is probably the best known of the commandments, or the most often used. When there was a survey taken among students as to which was the most important of the commandments, this is the one that came top of the list. And indeed, it is the one that is most likely to be quoted by liberals and others when they get into discussions. It has been used to justify all sorts of stances, from opposition to capital punishment to vegetarianism, and all sorts of things have been drawn from this commandment. But while it is thought of as perhaps the most important of the commandments, perhaps it is the bottom of the list as far as the one that people would be worried about. Because people will say to themselves, well, I've never killed anybody. I've never murdered anybody. You might well imagine yourself being covetous, or you might realize that you've been covetous. You have borne what false witness. You have stolen. You have you've broken the Sabbath and done so many of the other things that are mentioned in the commandments. But as you sit here today, you say to yourself, well, this one doesn't apply to me because I've never killed anybody. This is not one that I'm going to be worried about. The preacher's not going to get at me today. Well, I want to challenge you today, because if you really understand the implications of this commandment, you will realize that it is one that we have broken. You see, very often we take the commandments at their face value, but there is much that lies below the surface. Really, what you have in these commandments is the chief sin in a family of sins. When it refers to killing, really it is the most heinous, perhaps, of a whole family of different sins that lie below it. And there's a wider category of sin that is spoken of by this commandment. And so we realize that this commandment reaches far beyond just the act of committing murder. So I want to ask you something today. Perhaps it is something that you would never even have considered, or maybe even would be insulted by if I was to ask it without giving that preliminary thought. And that is, are you a killer in the sight of a holy and righteous God? Are you a murderer as you sit here today? Well, I want us to think about that question as we come to this commandment. And I want us to think about the things that this commandment does advocate. And the first thing that the commandment advocates is that we protect physical life. That is something that lies on the surface. Thou shalt not kill. And how stark that is, how plain it is. Murder is wrong. And isn't that something that we need to emphasize? And we do need to emphasize in this day, because violent crime is increasing, and murder is being perpetrated on every hand around us, and so often we hear it on the news. It is given in the statistics in England and Wales. Violent crime is increasing, and there is an atmosphere in which life is cheap. As far as many are concerned, there is the carrying of knives. Knife crime is increasing, and all sorts of crimes are being committed today. We think of the murders that are happening on every hand. Indeed, the government has had to bring forward initiatives against violent crime because of a spate over Christmas and the New Year. A spate of murders. Teenagers were being murdered. And because of that, because of these teenagers that died of knife wounds, the government has had to bring forward initiatives against these things. So right at the beginning, we realise that murder is wrong. We think of how at the beginning Cain slew his brother Abel. And we think of how in Genesis 9 God said, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man." So God takes murder seriously. But when I quote that verse of scripture to you, we already come to a question. Because it says, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed." So we find in the scriptures that not all killing is wrong. There are circumstances in which there is a legitimacy for taking a life. Now, is either the word of God is contradicting itself, or else there are exceptions to the law, "Thou shalt not kill." And particularly, if you read Exodus chapter 21, the very next chapter from the one which states, "Thou shalt not kill," you will find six instances in which there are circumstances in which a man's life should be taken. Now, if there is going to be a contradiction, it's not going to occur in two consecutive chapters of God's Word. So there must be an exception given in the Word of God to the law, "Thou shalt not kill." And as we examine the Word of God, there are a few exceptions. What are the exceptions to the law? Well, capital punishment is an exception to the law. We need to realize that the Ten Commandments are given for individuals. They're not given for states. They're not given for governments. Governments go by another law. We are not to murder in our own right. We're not individually to go and kill somebody. But we think of how it is said there, that whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. And could I go as far as this, to say that a government that does not have capital punishment for cold-blooded murder is going against God's law, because they are not taking seriously the value of life that God puts upon life when it doesn't have capital punishment. Now, in God's Word, you realize that capital punishment is only given in certain circumstances. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, there is an extra added proof above the ordinary proof for a capital crime. It is only given for cold-blooded murder. There are certain safeguards given in the Word of God as to when capital punishment should be used. And if there is any doubt, then it is a jail sentence that should be given, not capital punishment. But capital punishment is given as an instrument to governments, and it is God's ordained way of dealing with cold-blooded murder. So obviously that is an exception. I've read sermons of people preaching on "Thou shalt not kill," and immediately, as soon as they start, they use it as a campaign against capital punishment and this awful thing that is taking place across the world where capital punishment is still allowed. But it is something that God has laid down in His Word. So capital punishment is an exception. Another exception is a war for a just cause. Most wars are not just. Most wars are for some selfish reason or for some selfish advancement of a particular government or a particular individual. But we read in the Bible of where the children of Israel went out to war and God sent them to war. You remember when Joshua was on the hills overlooking Jericho, and we read that the Lord came as the captain of the host, and God led them in battle, and God gave them victory in the battle. So obviously there are times when war is just, where there are awful individuals who are rising up. We think of Hitler as an example, a prime example of a just war that was perpetrated. Where the war is just, where things are taking place, then it is justified to go to war. And in that circumstance, then it's unavoidable to take life. Another instance where it is acceptable, as it were, to take life is in the case of self-defense. Turn over to Exodus chapter 22. This is one of the exceptions in the next chapter. 21 gives exception. But 22 verse 2, if a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. So if a thief breaks into your house and he's threatening you, then according to the word of God, you can take action. Now the law of the land will not allow you to do that, so we have to go by the law of the land. But as far as the morality of the thing is concerned, as far as God is concerned, no blood was to be shed. For a thief that had broken into your house, was threatening your life or threatening your family, then that was allowable. But look at what verse 3, it says, if the sun be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him, for he should make full restitution. If he have nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. He says, if you in the catch him in the act, and if there's a struggle that ensues, and he's killed, well, that's allowable. But if you go out the next day with the shotgun and try to find him, you know who he is, and go and try and find him there, that is murder. That is murder. So God sets it down very precisely here, but there are exclusions to the law here that are given in the word of, there are exceptions to the law that are given here in the word of God. But not only do we think of the exceptions of the law, but I want you to think the exclusions of the law. What is excluded? What are we prohibited to do in the commandment here? Well, of course, we are not to assassinate. We're not to murder. We have seen that already. Murder is wrong. Murder is wrong. Assassination, quite obviously, is covered by this law, this commandment. Abortion also is covered by the commandment. For any other reason than that it should save a mother's life. In that instance, where a mother's life is directly at risk, it's the choice between a mother's life and a baby's life, it's the mother's life that should be saved. Now, I have reasons for saying that, but I'm not going to go into those reasons just now. But abortion is wrong. Abortion is murder. We think of how it has skyrocketed in the United Kingdom in the last two decades or so, or a few decades. We think of the awful murders, thousands that are being murdered. And if you doubt that it is wrong, turn with me to Exodus 21 and look at verses 22 and 23. It says, if men strive and hurt a woman with child, so their fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judge is determined. And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life. You notice what it says? The little child, before it is born, life for life. God counts it as life. So abortion is wrong. An act of suicide is a breaking of the commandment. We sometimes forget that. We forget that taking your own life is the same as taking another's life. Now, we have to understand that people get into an awful state. Maybe they're engulfed by a feeling of hopelessness. Maybe they are mentally unbalanced or deeply depressed, or just get into that place where nothing seems, there doesn't seem to be a way out. But you think of the Philippian jailer. The Philippian jailer, when he saw the earthquake and he saw the doors of the prison opened, he was going to take his own life because He felt that he had not done his duty and there was no other way out. But in the midst of it, Paul cried out, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." And then you read of the question, "What must I do to be saved?" And that jailer was pointed to Christ. And then we have the scene where the jailer brings the apostles home and his whole family is baptized and his whole household. And instead of being the most hopeless day in his life, it was the best day in his life. You see, there's always hope. And particularly in the Lord Jesus Christ, thank God there is hope. There may be somebody here today and you're down in the depths and you feel hopeless. But thank God there's always hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, acts of suicide. That is a breaking of the commandment. Assisted killing, euthanasia, is also a breaking of the commandment. That has received a lot of publicity over the last little while. There are clinics in the different European countries, I think in the Netherlands and maybe Switzerland, where people can go and they can end their own life. We think of the awful situation where people are in pain or losing their faculties and they don't want to live. They feel that the quality of life is going. And of course we feel for people like that. But taking your own life, where it comes to taking your own life, it may be that the life has been sustained artificially and it's only artificial means for keeping the life going, then we understand that. But where the life is definitely taken, where you go to a clinic to end your life, that is committing suicide. That is wrong. That is forbidden by the commandment. And also being accessory to killing. You think of David when he sent Uriah the Hittite into the middle of the battle to have him killed. David wasn't there to do the killing, but he was an accessory to the killing. And he was guilty. He was counted guilty. Nathan the prophet came and faced him with the guilt of what he had done. And to murder in any way is wrong. And you can see that. We see how the commandment here prohibits, it excludes, it protects physical life and prohibits the taking of physical life. And we see that absolutely clearly here in the Word of God. Why does the commandment make us protect physical life? But it also is there to admonish us to preserve a healthy life. Now you need to remember that the negative of the commandment also includes the positive. Where it says thou shalt not kill, it also means that you are to preserve your life. The Shorter Catechism in answer 68 puts it like this: the sixth commandment requireth all lawful endeavours to preserve our own life and the life of others. So not only are you not to kill, but you're to do all that you can to preserve your own life and the life of others. Now, we've been speaking about suicide, but let's get down to brass tacks now and let's think about what we do in our own lives. Now, you think of people who smoke. You think of people who take drugs. You think of people who take alcohol and abuse alcohol. And isn't it interesting that during the week we've had a survey came out from Queen's University that surveyed people, and they said that those in evangelical, what they call fundamental denominations, specifically mentioned the Free Presbyterian Church, but men in the Free Presbyterian Church and churches like it are likely to live 3 years longer than the normal. Women live even longer than that. Isn't that interesting? When we think of the abuse that is taking place all around us here, and maybe we are interested to see that those who follow the Word of God, we think of honour thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land. There's a promise given, and it has been confirmed for us during the week. But let's not congratulate ourselves too much, because perhaps we are eating things and taking things that do not agree with us, and in some ways we're killing ourselves. You know, I was preparing this message And it was after a night I'd been out and I had taken cream. Now, cream doesn't agree with me. Cream gives me an acidy stomach and I always pay when I eat cream. Am I breaking the commandment by doing it? I think I probably am. Because it's obviously poisoning my system. It's not doing me any good. I know a man who has had a couple of heart bypass operations and he cannot pass a chip shop. Is he killing himself? It may well be. Probably is. You know, I have a book at home. It's called The King's Highway. It was presented to somebody in Maharavili Sunday School in 1898. And it was by the Dr. Richard Newton. And this is what Dr. Newton said. And I quote, "Whatever makes us sick or disagrees with us, we should regard as poison. If we go on eating those things just because we like them, we break this commandment by doing so." Thomas Watson described it in his own inimitable way as digging our graves with our teeth. Thou shalt not kill. We need to preserve our own life. Dangerous driving. Dangerous sports. Doing things that put our lives in danger. That's breaking the commandment. We do all that we can to preserve our own lives. And not only are we to preserve our own lives, but the lives of others. We should comfort others and relieve others and look after the wants of others. Remember what James said? He said, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world." Psalm 112 verse 9 speaks of the righteous man, the upright man, and he says, "He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness endureth forever, his horn shall be exalted with honour." So do we look after others? Do we look after our neighbours? You say, who do I look after? Everybody that you know. Now, that shows you the depth of this commandment. That's why we break it. Because the commandment not only commands us not to take another's life, but we're to do what we can to comfort and help everybody that we know around us as much as we can possibly do to preserve the life of others, to help the life of others, to comfort them, to bless them, to help them in any way. That is the commandment. That's why we break it. That's why we see the depths of it. So I ask you, are you a killer? Yes, we are. In the terms that God has set down in his word, we are. We're killing ourselves. And we're not helping others as we should. So this commandment speaks here of protecting our physical lives and also of preserving a healthy life. But then it has something else to say. It speaks of promoting a gracious life. Now, you go over to Matthew chapter 5 and you'll see where the Lord Jesus spoke about this commandment. He gives the real outworking of the commandment. Some people say that the Lord added to the commandment or changed the commandment. He didn't. What he does here is that he just shows what it really means. And in Matthew chapter 5, look at verses 21 and 22. He says this. "You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire." Now that's what I mean when I say that the commandment thou shalt not kill is the head commandment of a whole family of sins. The Lord tells us if you're angry with your brother without a cause, you've broken this commandment. If you're contemptuous of somebody else, if you humiliate somebody else, if you put them down, You're breaking the commandment. This is a commandment for the promotion of a gracious life. We're to be gracious to others. We're to act towards others in a gracious manner. 1 John 3 verse 15 says, "Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And we know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him." You see how straight it puts it? See how boldly it puts it? If you hate your brother, you're a murderer. If you hate somebody else, is there a hatred in your heart against somebody? Are you a murderer in the eyes of God? You're taking away their liberty. You're taking away the happiness of somebody else. You're acting towards them with this murderous intent. You think of the phrase that says, "If looks could kill." Well, the content behind that is actually murder in God's eyes. The thought behind that is murder in God's eyes. And this is how serious it might be. We know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. So there is your responsibility, child of God. Don't hate. Now, if you turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 20, you'll see where Paul gives a list of the family of sins, the murder sins. There's another list in Galatians 5 and another one in Romans 1. But look at the one in 2 Corinthians 12 and look at verse 20. It says, "For I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not, lest there be debates, envies, wraths, strifes, backbiting, whisperings, swellings, tumults." There you have it. There are some of the sins: backbiting, tumults, wrath, envying. That breaks the commandments. Wrath against somebody, backbiting against somebody, stabbing other people in the back. You know what James says in James 4 and 1? "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members?" That's where it comes out of. A lust for heart. A sinful heart. If there is that in our hearts, then it comes out of our lusts. And so here, this commandment not only commands us to preserve a healthy life, but it also promotes a gracious life. A life without envy and strife and backbiting and hatred. If there's hatred in your heart today, if there's backbiting in your heart, you need to get right. You need to get right. But not only does the commandment tell us to preserve a healthy life and protect our physical life and promote a gracious life, but it is to proclaim new life. You see, this commandment still goes further. When God made man and put him in the Garden of Eden, he had a full life, a blessed life, a life in which he met with the one who is the life. But when the Lord, or when man fell in the Garden of Eden, death entered in. Death entered in. But thank God, the Savior has come. And he says, "I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Now what we need to do today is go and proclaim that message of life. We need to tell others about the life, the eternal life that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we realize, the Bible says, that woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Now if I don't go out and tell others about Christ, if I don't go out and tell them about the way of salvation, if I don't go out and invite them into the meetings, then I am robbing them of the news of new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm robbing them of the blessed news of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And thus I'm breaking the commandment. So how long is it since you've told somebody about the Saviour? How long is it since you have invited somebody into the meeting? Particularly as we come up to our gospel mission. Should we not be inviting others in? Should we not be using these tracts and leaflets to get them in under the sound of God's precious word? Woe is unto me. That's what Paul meant when he said it. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. We need to tell them about Jesus, the mighty deceiver. And those of you that are not saved by rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ, what are you doing? You're committing spiritual suicide. You're rejecting the only way of life. You're rejecting the only way of salvation. The last commandment in the Bible says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. And whosoever means you, you can have life. You can take of the water of life freely. Don't commit spiritual suicide. Come to Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And you can have life forevermore. Are we spiritual murderers? I think as we examine ourselves in the light of the commandment, we all are. But thank God at the cross, there's forgiveness. Murderers can find forgiveness at the foot of the cross and be washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. May God write His word upon our hearts for His name's sake. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we thank Thee for Thy word today. We realize, O God, how demanding it is. We realize how deep it goes. And Father, we pray today that Thou wouldst come and write Thy word upon our hearts. Help us, O God, to obey Thy voice. Help us to put the commandment into effect. And gracious God, we pray that we might live lives that are glorifying to Thee. For it's in Jesus' precious name I would ask these things. Amen.